listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Despite losing the turnover battle 3-1 last night in Minnesota, the Green Bay Packers are your NFC North champions, a 23-10 win over Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings.
Jonas gets sharper and sharper because really that is the stat that matters the most in any NFL game, really, which is turnover margin. This is shocking. I've never heard anyone talk about it. We uncovered it this year, and we've been saying it a bunch. If you didn't know the score of a game, let's say you slept through 24 hours, slept through Sunday, and you said, all right, RJ, I can tell you one or two things about the Steelers game you slept through. Who was leading at halftime, or who won the turnover battle? If I were attempting to predict who won the game, I would do better knowing the turnover battle. It takes 77% of the time or so, turnover battle winner wins, and it's less than that for teams leading at halftime. The idea that Green Bay can go on the road against a team that Las Vegas believed was superior, that's not a debate. Vikings have one of the better home fields in the NFL. Let's call it 3.5 points. If the line last night were 3.5, Vikings, it would have been even teams, home field. But the line was what, Brad? What'd
you 4.5.
4.5. It was 5.5 earlier in the week.
Yep.
And then Vikings cook out. So the market said Vikings are better than Green Bay. And the Vikings are at home. And across the NFL, if you win the turnover battle, you win 77% of times. Vikings were home. Vikings supposedly were better. And they won the turnover battle. And they lost the game. Green Bay doubled pretty much their Super Bowl odds. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now, here comes what we call the duct tape shoe guys. Now, why do we call them that? Because they got nice shoes, but their handicapping approach stopped winning about 10 years ago, so they haven't gotten any new shoes since. They just put duct tape on them, right? You think I'm joking. We see those guys around town. They got the George Jefferson jacket, you know, like the last time that sports coat was in style, George Jefferson was wearing it. But they still dress up. And they're going to say, yeah, they won the game, but look at their stats. And that's really the debate that we've had for years and years in Vegas. Do you trust the wins and losses? That's what the squares of the squares do. Do you trust the point margin? So let's look at Seattle. Seattle was a team this year, has been a team this year, that their point margin hasn't been good.
No.
But they've won all the close games, or pretty much all of them. Thus, their record was not pristine, but it was sparkly, but their point margin wasn't good.
No, not at all.
But then there's a level below that, which is not just wins and losses, not just points, but stats, yards. What is football about? Yards. The Green Bay Packers have been outgained this year. 15 games. How many yards did Green Bay gain? How many yards did the opponents gain? Now, Jonas, if I said there's a team that gained exactly the same yards as their opponents over 15 games, or let's say over 16 games a season, would you expect maybe a 500 record?
Yeah, it sounds like a 500 team to me.
Yeah, it's an even team, right? Okay, well, if you've been outgained, it means you're worse than an average team. So now we've got this dichotomy. On one hand, Green Bay doubled the Super Bowl chances. They have the inside track to. Have they locked up a bye?
No, they got about an 88% chance to get a bye now.
All right. So all kind of good things. On the other hand, the purest of the pure stats, the yards. This isn't about, and you might say, well, a lot of yards in the fourth, they call them garbage yards. Yeah, you get garbage yards, you give them up. Remember, Dallas got a ton of garbage yards against his very Green Bay team. So you could say, well, that's bad. But on the other hand, they get them sometimes. Over 15, 16 games, it's going to even itself out generally.
Yep.
Or maybe, let's say, no, give the Pack another 300 yards. They're still like a 9-7 team statistically.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
the duct tape shoe guys are going to say, well, that's the truth is in the stats, baby. I took a stats class way back when, and, you know, I have this website I look at now and again. It's more of a blog, and I think I know stats. And it's like, okay, I think there's another level to this, though. I think there's another level, which is, and I actually think it fits great relative to Kirk Cousins. So Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers. Now, if you look at the stats, and we've been leading the way with this straight out of Vegas, Aaron Rodgers has not been elite, next level, oh, certainly one of the best quarterbacks in the league, maybe one of the best of all time level for 5 years.
Yep.
You just look at the stats, it's just the case. And we can sit there and be level two and act like we got it all figured out. I think there's a level three. What leads to winning and losing in the NFL from your quarterback? Now, we can get all mystical and say, well, it's the locker room leadership. I think there's probably something to that. I think we've seen with Mayfield, there's something about him. It just rubs people the wrong way. Is it their fault? Is it his fault? Who cares? It's not working necessarily. Can he change? Yeah. But he hasn't changed yet. Okay. But I think on the field, it's probably related to two things that aren't put out there as much for a quarterback. Number one is turnovers. We just talked about how turnovers so dictate winning and losing. Aaron Rodgers, even during these mediocre years, and in many ways they are, and if you look at the aggregate index type stats like QBR, he's been just above average. You can't really debate it. But he's been outstanding, Aaron Rodgers, on turnover margin. He just doesn't turn the ball over. And since we said, wow, turnovers so dictate, we can sit and say, oh, he didn't have a lot of touchdowns. Oh, he didn't have this, didn't have that. How many interceptions did he throw? And Aaron Rodgers generally has been outstanding at that. And I think we probably underappreciate that.
Agree.
Number two of two, can you make the amazing, extraordinary play that's the difference between losing a close game in the conference championship and winning the Super Bowl? I'm a Steelers fan big time. I was actually at the Arizona Super Bowl against the Cardinals, Kurt Warner. When James Harrison made that play, the famous play, that was one of the great defensive players of the century, last 20 years, at his physical peak, doing something few people could do on the history of the world. The athleticism to make the catch, return it, the whole thing.
Yep.
If he was a year older, perhaps, had a couple more pieces of cheesecake, whatever it was, he wouldn't have made that play. Aaron Rodgers, if it's 3rd and 14, Super Bowl's on the line, I don't care what his stats have said the last 5 years. Oh, I do care, because if he had done even better, I think the chance of him making the big play goes up. But Aaron Rodgers today can still make the kind of that play will go down in history type play with his athleticism that maybe 5 or 6 quarterbacks can. So I currently in the NFL, I could easily say statistically Aaron Rodgers is about 12th best quarterback, but he's one of that small handful that can make the play that gets you over the hump.
Couldn't agree more. We just saw it a couple years ago in the playoffs, the Cowboys game. In the divisional round, he made that excellent throw, set up the field goal.
Okay, and then, I mean, no, you're not talking about the Hail Mary play? Or
not the Hail Mary play. It was like a sideline throw, like a 30-yard pass.
And Greg Cosell, who's on the herd on FSR a bunch, he made a good point a couple years ago. Is Aaron, imagine there's someone who's super disciplined, got all of the details right, and then there's the talented guy. So the disciplined guy walks in, he kind of shuffles, he's got his big notepads. The other guy walks in, he gets dropped off by a lady in a Corvette right before the meeting. But that guy's a genius. Well, not a genius, he's brilliant. And the other guy's above average. You know what happens? For a while, they're about even. But then the brilliant guy gets a little older, IQ drops a point or two, all that booze, and lo and behold, the nerdy guy, the grinder's better than the brilliant guy. Aaron Rodgers in his prime, his athleticism, his talent allowed him to be the best without all the details. I'm not saying he didn't work hard. He works harder than most people. But compared to Tom Brady, compared to Peyton Manning, he doesn't work that hard as far as anyone can see. But he could sleep an hour and a half, get dropped off, be fine. Then the time came where he was maybe even with the Grinders. And now I think we're at a time that day-to-day, game-to-game, Aaron Rodgers is a little bit below the best quarterbacks. Statistically, that's been the case. You're never going to pick up the grind gene in your 30s. So I think identifying that Aaron Rodgers has dropped off like that is a second-level Vegas typical thing. To admit that even at his current not-the-best-ever level, Aaron Rodgers, he's not turning the ball over, which is so important, and he can make that play that maybe five or six other quarterbacks can. And thus, I think Green Bay, no matter the fact that they've been outgained on the season, I think Aaron Rodgers, no matter the fact that statistically he's not a top 10 quarterback, that this team is a viable Super Bowl contender. Green Bay is viable to win the Super Bowl, and Vegas odds are telling you as much.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
All right, RJ, you had a conspiracy on none other than Dak Prescott involving his injury status even before the latest, most publicized injury. Where's your proof?
Now, when you say conspiracy with a sneer, I'm not okay with that. Well, we should say conspiracy that could be true.
Yeah, but it plays better on the air if I feel like I'm being skeptical and then you turn me and sell me the other way all the way around.
Oh, you know what's weird? I always am just honest on the air.
Yeah, I'm not.
You know, he's got all these theories, yeah. This guy. You know, you're going to have to come to Vegas and teach you some of these things. All right. I love Jonas, man. It's funny. Jonas is one of those dudes that you like more as the months and years go by. Most guys, it goes the other way.
It'll
Let's
turn
just admit that to ourselves. All right. Dak Prescott. A lot of talk about, oh, he's banged up. Some point of the Rams game, we didn't have any film evidence of it. In fact, there's all kinds of, it's like the Zapruder film trying to figure out when he got hurt. We think Dak got hurt before the Rams game. He might have got hurt during the game. He was hurt before the game. Next Gen Stats, they look at every pass a quarterback throws, and they say, based upon all the factors, what's the chance that he completes this pass? And then they compare that expected number to the actual number. So over the course of a game, over the course of a season, a quarterback can complete more or less than expected. Now, Dak Prescott on the year has completed about 2%, a little
2.6.
bit more, 2.6% more, better, more completions than expected. So the fact it's within 2.6% says this thing's pretty good, the next gen. How did he do recently in these games?
Let's start with the Chicago game. He was minus 2.6%.
All right, so the Chicago game was when? So
Week 14.
All right, so Week 14.
And then Week 15 against the Rams, the games we thought, and at least the market, that he got injured, minus 5.2%, worse than the Chicago game.
All right, so he's up on the season.
Yep.
Completion percentage versus expectation, Dak Prescott. He was down the game before the Rams.
Yep.
He was down the entire Rams game by 5 percentage points plus, and then?
And then the Philly game on Sunday, minus 7.7%.
Now, isn't it coincidental that on the season, Dak Prescott is up, completing more passes than expected? In the Rams, or in the Bears game, before the Rams game, in the Bears game, he's less, but by 2% or so, a little less. All right. Then in the Rams game, in which he got hurt more, I think,
yep,
he's down double that, from 2.5% to 5%. And then in the Philly game, in which he had all the injuries, but not on the injury report, he was down 7.7%. So yes, no doubt, Dak was hurt coming in the Eagles game, though not on the injury report. But I think he was hurt two games before that, And all the talk about, oh, should Dak get paid, blah, blah, blah. Let's be honest. If the guy's up on the year on this stat and down the last three games, it could be a coincidence. That's what they want you to think. I don't think so. I think Dak was hurt.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.